Hey, it's Neil Keefe on the Keefe to the City podcast on WFAN.com. And joining me today, producer and writer about the NHL and New York Rangers on WFAN and WFAN.com is Brian Monzo. Brian, how's it going today?
What's up, Neil? How are you? I hope the snow is treating you well.
Yeah, it's not too bad here. Hopefully, you know, it didn't hit you too bad as well. The Rangers last night come away with that devastating 2-1 loss to the Canadiens at home, a team that hadn't been playing so well on the road, and the Rangers, a team that's been used to these close one-goal games, overtime games, shootout games. I'd like to see them come away with the win at home. They weren't able to get back on the board after the Dubinsky goal just 4 minutes into the game. What do you think the Rangers can take away with this loss with the NHL's best Vancouver coming into town on Thursday?
Well, you got to look at what they've done before that. They won a couple of games in a row on the road, coming from behind in Dallas and St. Louis, coming off a big high here. So coming back home against another team at, you know, one of their rivals going back, you know, back in history. I thought they'd come out on fire, and they did. For 7 or 8 minutes, they played really well. Dubinsky's goal got the goal scoring kicked off, and there was kind of a lull in the middle of the game where it was just kind of. I was talking to somebody else who works at FAN, Crystal Presti, a little bit on Twitter, and he said it. You know, the game kind of just went away in the middle, and did. It was kind of boring, which is you know, unless you're watching the Devils, isn't a good thing. So, and then, you know, the last few minutes they really got it going, and Volsky hit the post, and they had a lot of good opportunities. In those last 7 minutes, they played with, you know, true desperation and had a lot of good opportunities. It wasn't Carey Price in it either. It was Alex Holmes, former Ranger. And he came up big, and, you know, Lundqvist said after the game that that second goal was one he should have had. I think all the Ranger fans agree, but they're not going to hold it against him. He's an all-star. So I'm not overly disappointed about the loss. You don't like losing, but, you know, looking forward to the game against Vancouver, and that's a true test of what this team can do.
Lundqvist did look shocked on the puck that beat him short side in the top corner, but you can't really blame Lundqvist out of what happened. He had the 36 saves, and time again with this team, they can't seem to score enough goals, and they're always asking Lundqvist to bail them out. You know, that comes back to the defense, and they get rid of Roosevelt, a move that I've been preaching about for the last 5 years that they should have done it. And you had a tweet yesterday that the average age for the defenseman on this team now is 24.9 years old, and that's got to be right at the youngest in the league. And it's good for the future, but for right now, it's going to be some struggles to get through. And Mike Sullivan's talked about it in the past in the intermission reports about the, you know, the experience that these guys are gaining. But do you think that this is something that will hold them back from making a serious run in the playoffs?
Well, not only are they 24, you know, average of 24, you know, close to 25 years old, two of your top prospects, or, well, Delzato, you know, I mean, he's still a quote-unquote a prospect, but he's basically an NHLer just fine-tuning his work down up in Connecticut now. And Dylan McElrath, the first round pick last year. So there's two more defensemen, both under the age of 20, technically. So there is a lot of youth there. But you got to look at guys like Dan Girardi, who's been in the league for four years now. Mark Stahl, this is his fourth season. So granted, these guys are really young. They're borderline veterans at this point. And as far as their age, you know, I think at the trade deadline, you know, they're going to pick up somebody a little older. I was talking to some people. Sammy Salo is a name. Jim Vandermeer is a name. Even that Joe Vanovsky with that money, he's an unrestricted free agent at the end of the year. He's playing out in Phoenix. Obviously, Mr. Sather's favorite trading opponent, and you know, he's going to be available. I don't think Phoenix is going to re-sign him as long as they don't ask for too many young players. So there's definitely some direction they can go. And as far as how they're looking now, I think you know what you have. You have a lot of decent, you know, defensemen. Saul is one of the elite defensemen in the league. It's what his brother said on the NHL Network last night, and I don't think anybody disagrees with that. Dan Girardi, who's, you know, he's not great, but he's very consistent, and he's always going to play. He doesn't miss games. He's very steady. He's got 20 points this season. He's got 17 assists. Michael Sauer's been a very pleasant surprise as a rookie. I didn't think he'd play most of the season. He's probably going to play the whole season. And I think Steve Emminger, no one really knew what to expect. He's a former first-round pick. He's played pretty well. You know, I think every Ranger fan and the coaches are comfortable. If they weren't comfortable with the situation with the youth, they would not have moved Roosevelt, even though he's making a lot of money and he's not playing up to his contract. I think they're pretty comfortable with what they have, and I think come trade deadline, they definitely will pick up somebody just to kind of balance out the veteran to young guy department there.
And with Roosevelt and the trade, you had that piece the other day about the trade for Volsky, and you had said that it's a win-win situation, and I agree with you, and I think it is a good move for the Rangers, and you saw the type of offense and the type of skill set that Volsky brings to the table, and he missed that shot at the end of the game there that would have tied it and sent it to overtime. But I think in the long run and for the rest of the season, he's going to play a big role with this team. I guess just break it down a little bit of what you talked about and how you feel about this trade, Rosenvall for Volsky.
Well, it was a no-brainer. Sather said it in his conference call that, you know, when you have the opportunity to get somebody who's, you know, young, he's only 24 years old, he's scored 85 career goals, you know, he's big, he's fast, he's very talented, he scores in the shootout, and, you know, he's making less money than the player you're trading him for, it is a no-brainer and a win-win. Best case scenario is, you know, he helps them get into the playoffs. The one thing about the Rangers, just to kind of get off the path here, is no one player is going to get this team into the playoffs. They've become one team. They weren't last year. It was mostly about Gavrik. Years before that, it was all about Jágr. That's really not the case this year. Anybody they bring in is a piece of the puzzle. He's not the guy that's going to get them into the playoffs, the guy they're leaning on. So he's brought in to be a piece of the puzzle. And I think the best case scenario out of this trade is he's a piece that brings this team, you know, scores some goals, gets this team into the playoffs, helps them advance in the playoffs. The worst case scenario is he comes in here, he's lackluster, he's not good. Next season, very mediocre. You don't re-sign him. But he saved $1.2 million on the salary cap because Rosenvall is making, you know, more money than him. He's making five, Rosenvall was, and Volsky's making 3.8. So you're saving money regardless. So it was a smart move. It had to be done. And with the injuries to Frolov, who was a waste anyway, Callahan, I still think Gavrik's playing a little banged up. You know, you had to bring in somebody to really help, you know, to kind of, you know, counterbalance the offense. And I think it was a great move. And I was shocked. I got the note that there was going to be a conference call, and I sent out some text messages, and I was trying to get a feel for what it was. I definitely thought it was a player move. I did not see this being the case. It was a great move. I was very satisfied.
And the Rangers, offensively, they seem to be the same team that they were last year and the same team they've been sort of since, you know, the post-lockout era where goals are hard to come by. I mean, with Lundqvist in net and with a steady defense, that they'll always be in the games. I know standings-wise, they're in sixth place, and it seems like they're the same team year in and year out, but you look at this team and you just get a better feel about them. I'm pretty confident in their abilities and what they could do just getting into the postseason. I don't think the seeding would really matter, but do you think that they're giving off a different vibe, that they're a team on the up, or do you feel like they're, you know, still staying level to where they've been the past few years?
The difference between this Ranger team and Ranger teams of the last few years is, as a fan, and I bet the same feeling goes in as a player, that any game the Rangers play, you feel they can win the game. And it doesn't matter if they're down one goal, down two goals, you know they're not out of the game. And I think the players feel that too. They, you know, Brian Boyle scored 14 goals. I mean, who would have saw that coming? He almost didn't make the team. Derek Stepan, I mean, we all knew he was talented. He's only scored 12 goals. He had the hat trick the first game. But you feel confident when he's on the ice that something's going to happen. So I think the difference is, you know, there's any player can score a goal at any point, and there's balance on this team, and they don't stress that, oh, we got to give the puck to Marian, oh, we got to give the puck to Jaromir. Dubinsky has 17 goals, Boyle has 14, Gavrik is going to score his goals, Volsky is going to score his goals, eventually Drury is going to score some goals. So I think they know that no matter who's on the ice, you know, Brendan Prust shorthanded is going to score some goals. They know they could strike whenever they can. And as far as the goal scoring goes, they've scored 127 goals this year. As a fan, as someone who watches this team, as someone who has seen these teams in the past, I feel like they are scoring more goals. I know they've struggled since basically the new year, but they had a big goal off against Edmonton. They scored six goals a bunch of times. There's definitely a lot of offense on this team. Now, it comes and goes, but on games where they only score one or two goals, I think they're pretty confident that Hank will backstop them to a W.
The All-Star game coming up, and they announced the rosters, the 36 additional players picked by the league office. Mark Stahl making his first appearance, Henrik Lundqvist his second. I think there's a lot of problems with the players they picked, and it just seems like they need a format that works all the way around. But is there anybody that really surprised you that made this roster, and any Rangers get snubbed, or anybody on the team that you think deserved a shot?
Well, I try not to get involved in All-Star games and gimmicky things. I mean, I love the Winter Classic, but All-Star games is like a weekend off for me as well. But I kind of been interested in what they've done this year. I remember a couple of years ago they did like North America versus the world, try back. I'm a big fan of just the East versus West, but I appreciate it. And the brains behind all this was actually Brendan Shanahan, who works for the league now, which is an idea. And it's something different. It's something fun. It's going to keep the fan involved. You know, they're going to be interested in who's going to be the captains, who's going to be the last guy picked, who's going to be the first guy picked. So it definitely gives them more motive to watch the actual All-Star game. As far as how it's being done and who's going in, I don't like the first six guys get voted in. and then the league picks the rest of them, because I think they could be very part of certain teams. I think as far as the Rangers go, I was surprised that Dubinsky didn't get in. He's having a much better year than Alesh Hemsky is in Edmonton, a much better year than Patrick Elias is, even a better year than Claude Giroux is. I mean, Claude Giroux is a very good player in Philadelphia, but I thought if you look at what Brandon Dubinsky is doing for the Rangers this year as opposed to someone like Hemsky or Elias, I was surprised he didn't get in. No surprise to me that Henrik got in, and it was a good job by the league to get Mark Stahlin, somebody who's not, even though he's improved offensively this year, not just an offensive defenseman, just he levels guys and takes guys out and plays against other teams' best players. But as far as the format goes, it's interesting. I'm interested in seeing how it plays out, and I was surprised that a couple of those guys got in and Dubinsky didn't get in. I was a little disappointed because I think he is a very underrated player with a good opportunity for the fans of teams in Vancouver and Calgary to see how good he is.
And lastly, the Rangers, they got the Canucks coming to town tomorrow night, leading the league. Leading the NHL in points, and then they follow that up with Montreal and Philadelphia. But to close out January, they've got a pretty favorable schedule with the Maple Leafs, and then they play a bunch of the Southeast teams right before the start of February. I think that, you know, this is a good chance for the Rangers to find their offensive groove and sort of make a statement, and a good chance for them to pick up 2 points along the way a few times. What would you like to see out of the Rangers to close out January in the next couple weeks against some of the lesser competition in the Eastern Conference?
Well, I tweeted last night that I love seeing teams like Vancouver and the Blackhawks and the Flames, because, you know, somebody who lives on the west, on the East Coast, you know, I have, you know, the NHL Network and the package and watch all these games and whatnot. But to, you know, just have these teams come to the Garden is great. I'm looking forward to that game just to see a team you don't get to see that often, and very, you know, other than reading, you know, seeing highlights and reading box scores. And, you know, you have to watch out for, obviously, the Sedin twins. They are really come on these last few years, and they were drafted very high in the 1999 draft, one of the great drafts of the Rangers, getting Pavel Brundle and Jimmy Lundmark. And as far as those two guys, back-to-back, Brian Burke drafted those two when he was the GM in Vancouver, and they've come to be one of the best tandems in the league. And going back to the All-Star game, being that they're both in the All-Star game, it would be interesting to see how they respond if they're not on the same team. It would be the first time ever. But with Vancouver, you have those two. You have Roberto Luongo in net. You have a very underrated player who I believe has 24 goals this year, and he had the game winner against the Islanders, and Ryan Kessler, a USA-born player, an Olympian, someone we don't get to see very often, but he's very good. Kevin Bieksa, a very solid defenseman. Mason Raymond, former Ranger Manny Malhotra, former Ranger Michael Samuelson. And it's good to see these players, and it's going to be, and they're a great team. They haven't lost in regulation, I believe, in 17 games. It's ridiculous, really. And I think it will be a good opportunity for the Rangers. Don't get the respect I think they deserve. It's partially because they're in New York. Not everybody likes New York. It's just kind of the way it is. So I think it would be a great opportunity for an audience in Vancouver and the West Coast and in Canada to see their best team come into New York. And if the Rangers win, have them say, you know, these Rangers are a lot better than we thought. And, you know, the league's going to have to look out for them. So I think it's going to be a great game. And, you know, it's a good chance for the Rangers to make a splash in the league.
All right, Brian, thanks for giving me your time. And hopefully we could talk soon and the Rangers can, you know, keep climbing up in the standings in the Eastern Conference and give us something to look forward to this spring.
Everybody talks about how February is a tough month for sports. It's one of my favorite months because hockey becomes number one. It's always number one for me, but a lot of the smaller fans becomes number one for them. So it's going to be a great rest of the season, and I appreciate having